natural resources have the potential to drive growth, development, poverty reduction. The extractive industry plays a key role, a strong economic role in many countries, but face challenges such as resource dependency, environmental degradation, contamination of soil and waters, etc. However, while resource extraction generates enormous revenue for resource-rich countries such as Nigeria, it could also engender human rights violations in host countries. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first episode of Connected Development Radio Program, proudly sponsored by Oxfam. My name is Mary Nakpan. Joining me this morning to discuss human rights and the fragility of host communities, I have Associate Counsel Idumedu and Associate Barrister Nathaniel Osage. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Great to have you join us. We also have Ukeme Awan, FTMA champion. Good morning, Ukeme.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here. Good morning, Akwa Ibom.
All right. Okay. So let's get talking. And we need to get basics on how this conversation will roll. Meanwhile, don't forget, this is the first episode of Connected Development Radio Program and proudly sponsored by Oxfam. All right, let me start with Barrister Nathaniel. And we're talking human rights and the fragility of host communities. First of all, what is the relationship between human rights and sustainable economic development of host country or host community, you'd say?
All right, thank you very much for that question. You see, when it has to do with the extractive industry, a lot of human rights concerns arise. You know, over the years, we have had issues of human rights abuses as it regards the activities and operations of the extractive industry in Nigeria. You see, human beings have rights. They have a multiplicity of rights. And when we talk about human rights, we're saying that these are rights that accrue to human beings by virtue of them being human beings, okay? And the existence of this right in human beings create a corresponding duty. It creates a corresponding duty in all organs of society, including industries. And that's where the petroleum industry falls and the extractive industry, the companies within the extractive industry come in. So they have a duty to recognize, respect, and protect the human rights of citizens inhabiting their areas of exploration. These industries have all mining licenses, they have prospecting licenses to explore for oil and gas in these communities. And now the inhabitants of these communities have rights, okay? And these rights include the right to a pollution-free and healthy environment. So the extractive industry is to bear in mind these rights and entitlements of the citizens, the indigenes of these communities in carrying out their explorative activities. So the relationship between human rights and the industry is that the industry carries out activities that tend to detract or diminish the right of people in these communities where they carry on their operations. So that's the relationship.
All right. Talking about the community, let's get to Ukeme. And let's look at the role of community members and government, including the court, to prioritize and expedite actions to provide justice for citizens on human rights abuse in host, or you'd say impacted, communities.
The roles of communities and governments in holding the companies and people who are exploiting and also exploring values, oil and other minerals from the communities is much of asking them, holding them accountable to give back what the communities ought to have as the benefit that is accrued to them. Because in most of the communities, taking example from the one that is very close to us here, Akornitam, we've had so much of solid minerals extracted from that those communities, and it's been obvious that the members, the commoners of that communities, do not know anything about the benefit or the royalties that accrue to them from that communities. So on that basis, it's a very serious thing that the community members supposed to arise with all their voices, because the key point of this advocacy is power of voices that fail for all, holding the community, the companies accountable. So they supposed to, the community is supposed to arise and ask some basic questions. What is their benefit? What belongs to them out of these extractions? That's my concern about the community's relationship.
All right. We'll come to the new law, the new legislation talking about the Petroleum Industry Act. It's now an act because it has been signed by the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. But let me return to Barrister Nathaniel. Let's look at the law on ground. The extractive operations infringe on human rights of host community members. Do you think they infringe on the rights of human rights of a host of community members? And what can be done about this? What are the laws that back this up? Just like Ukeme is saying, they have to rise and say something.
Okay, thank you very much once again. Ukeme is very right when he says that these host communities, that host extractive industries, have been subject to a lot of human rights abuses as a result of environmental degradation of their communities, air pollution, different sorts of land, air and water pollution, and as well as hazardous waste disposal problems, which degrade the environment and result in adverse health implications. That's a statement of the problem. And now the law that seeks to address this has just been signed into law. That's the Petroleum Industrial Act, which was just recently signed by the President on the 1st of August. Okay? So what this law does is that it creates an elaborate framework within which the rights of this community people are being taken care of. It creates an elaborate framework within which the companies can be held accountable for sustainable economic development of communities exposed to hazards as a result of their toxic activities. Okay, so now I have taken a glance into the law, and I see that it has very lofty provisions that seek to address the human rights issues that arise from the operations of the extractive industry. And notable among the provisions of this law is the establishment of the host community trust fund. Okay, so what the law does is that it establishes a host community trust where every company operating within a particular community has been mandated to contribute a certain percentage of their operating expenditure for the development of infrastructure, for economic empowerment of the indigenes of the community. So now, what the law also does in a bid to enforce and implement this law is that it mandates the companies to consult with the host communities, okay, to recruit people who are going to work and serve as a part of this community development trust. Okay, the settlers, which are the companies, the act calls them the settlers.
Yeah.
Okay, it calls them the settlers. They are to consult with the host communities to appoint a board of trustees, which shall be registered with the CAC And the sole function of this trustee is to ensure that projects are being carried out, okay? Projects peculiar to each community. And along the line, the settlers are also to ensure that impact assessments are carried out from time to time to identify the specific problems in these localities, okay? And when these problems are identified, the funds will be disbursed to ensure that these infrastructural developmental projects are carried out in those places.
In a situation where the companies operating in the host communities don't abide by this particular law, what happens? What can the host community do?
Okay, beautiful. When the companies do not abide by the provisions of the law, what the law does is that it creates a commission and an authority that is responsible for regulating and seeing to the implementation of the law, okay? What the law does basically is that it holds the communities, it holds the companies, the multinational companies, the settlers, accountable to fulfilling and performing their obligations towards the community. So members of the community now have and are empowered to demand accountability from these people. They can petition the commission. They can petition the commission, which will go ahead to enforce compliance with the law. Now, the law sets aside 3% of the operating expenditure of the oil and gas industries. 3% of the operating expenditure of the oil and gas industry is supposed to be committed to the development of the communities.
And what are your thoughts on that 3% for the host communities?
Well, what my thought is on that is that because I've actually heard from different quarters that 3% is too small for the communities. In that regard, I'll say that 3% cannot really be said to be too small. It is not too small in the sense that what the government seeks to do at this time is to open up the oil and gas industry to investment.
Okay.
So it tries to reduce so many strictures which have to do with hiking percentages and overburdening these private investors who are trying to invest in the potentials of the country in terms of oil and gas. So what the government is trying to do is that they're trying to create a friendly climate so that investors can come in and invest and explore for petrol and gas. So when you have prices hiked, when you have percentages that are supposed to go to the communities hiked, it's going to scare them away. I know that they have agitated for 10%, but it's a safe place to start from. The PIA, like I said before, that has just been passed into law, is not a perfect law. It's not a perfect law. There's still room for improvement. There's still room for review. So let's just stick with what we have now.
Okay.
Going forward, we could review and talk about maybe an increase in the percentage accruing to the communities.
All right. Talking about the communities, let's go to Okeme to shed light on increasing environmental degradation, poverty, violence in host community due to extractive activities. And if possible, you could cite examples. We are seeing ethnic militants in this region, in where we have, you know, this oil, where we have these mineral resources. It's okay, man.
It's an obvious thing that in our communities, because of this negligence on the part of the companies who are taking so much from these communities, there is always an upsurge of violence, which those people who are demonstrating, they are not doing it because they find it happy. They are happy doing it. It's because they have been pushed to the floor. They have been pushed to the point that they can no longer keep mute. They have to react. I want to cite an example of what is happening in Mpanak, precisely Ibno, Lugu government area, where the ExxonMobil is sited. There, on our one-on-one interaction with the people in that community will realize that the water they are using is hard. They cannot even use it to wash their clothes, not to think of drinking it. So they go a long way to buy sachet water and bottle water for drinking. And one man from that community says, water is everywhere, but there is no water to use. And this can lead to a serious problem. The vulnerability from the angle of government and the angle of the company that is working there, it's a problem. Also, we have a problem of high rate of unemployment.
Talking about that particular situation you cited, well, what has the community done? Have they met with ExxonMobil? Have they spoken with them? What have they done?
Well, the ExxonMobil responded to the problem to some extent. They demonstrated. They demonstrated, and when they demonstrated, ExxonMobil, based on the information we gathered from them, responded to them that they have been paying their royalties to the government, and government supposed to respond to their problems, and also that the community leaders in that community also have some benefit from them. So they cannot reach everybody. So you look at the problem of colluding between community leaders and the government and the companies in that place, not allowing the dividend of extraction that is from that place to get to the masses, to the commoners. Also, we see the similar problem in Upenekang. Upenekang issue is so devastating that you have not seen any medical center where their women can take care of their health. They suffer from this problem as a result of exploration, the problem that is from the gas flaring and other problems. But once this problem, their health situation is not able to be handled, they have to go a long way to other communities. Like some of them travel to Yo in order for them to take care of their health problem. And this gender issue constraint in Eket, you notice that the soldiers and police that are securing the asset of Frontier Oil barrier women who are from that community from entering their land for farming, because of one reason or the other, this stoppage of them entering into their farmland stopped them from economic activities and other means of livelihood. But this is obvious because they're supposed to be free as the citizens of that community. And we also have a very common one here in Uyo.
Okay.
A community here in Uyo. Though the host community, though the company that is exploiting the environment is not extracting from that place, but it's disastrous that at Ikotebido, every hour of the day and night, you'll be seeing volumes of carbon going into the sky. And on that note, we are suspecting there was a day I saw black rain, and I don't know if other people noticed that. And very soon, the issue of black soot will also be experienced in Uyo. A company that is a Chinese company coming into the state and doing they are making brake parts for for KK, and the volume of carbon monoxide sent into the sky. This is really a problem. If not arrested now, will cost the state what they may not contain.
All right, we'll come to you. Well, let's go to the barista. I mean, while in case you're just joining us, this is Connected Development Radio Program, proudly sponsored by Oxfam. Okay, barista, what are the acceptable international best practice for natural resource exploration in host community? Because those are genuine concerns from Ukeme.
Okay, all right. There are a lot of legal instruments that prohibit gas flaring and oil spillage and those environmentally devastating effects of the operations of the extractive sector. But before I talk about those best practices, I'd like to be practical here.
Okay.
Now, he has talked about the devastating consequences of the operations of the extractive industry. The pollution, the air pollution, the land pollution, oil spillage, waste disposal problems. Those problems are real. They are genuine. These people actually suffer them. But it's important to note that nothing can be done to stop. Citizens cannot get the courts, for instance, to restrain or terminate the activities of the extractive industries totally. Okay, what they can get at best for now is fair and adequate compensation for the losses and the environmental devastations that they experience from time to time. Hmm. Okay, and that's where the PIA comes in. The PIA establishes two regulatory bodies that seek to regulate the oil and gas sector. Okay, it creates one for the upstream sector and another for the downstream sector. The Nigerian Upstream Regulatory Commission has been set up to regulate the technical and commercial operations of the upstream sector, while the Nigerian Midstream and Downstream Regulatory Authority has been mandated to regulate the activities of the midstream and downstream sector. So now, the world is moving away from oil and gas, from oil rather. The world is moving away from oil and gas to more renewable sources of energy. And this is a step towards addressing the issue of environmental pollution. We need more cleaner sources of energy. And that's why the Act has created a Frontier Exploration Fund where 10% of the rents chargeable on companies operating within the communities are committed. They commit 10% of this money collected in issuing out all prospecting licenses, mining leases. 10% of those monies recovered are put into the Frontier Exploration Fund. What's that going to be? What are they going to do with that? It's to explore for gas. That's what Frontier is. The frontier basins will be explored to check for the prospect of gas in Nigeria. I was listening to an oil and gas expert on channels the other day, and he said that 600,000 cubic feet of gas are deposited across Nigeria in several basins. I know that Cross River State has a basin, Anambra has a basin. So there are basins across Nigeria. So why don't we invest more in oil, in gas? Why don't we invest more in exploring the frontiers in order to help move away from this devastating effect of oil and fuel, petroleum?
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's get the thoughts of people listening to what we're talking about. In case you're just joining us, this is Connected Development Radio Program, and we're talking about human rights and the fragility of host community. We have Barrister Nathaniel Ryder alongside Ukeme Anwa. Well, we're going to come to Ukeme in a short while for him to give us an appraisal of some of these companies in Akwa Ibom State, in Akwa Ibom State extractive industry. Well, you mentioned a couple of names that are exploring. We'll get your thought and your appraisal and how they've performed so far. But let's go to the phone lines. 09060800 8951. We have barely 3 minutes before wrap up the show this morning. It's just the first episode, the second edition episode will come up next week, same time, same station. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, my brother.
Going to have you have 30 seconds.
Thank you, my brother. See, it's a very welcome before. I like this program. I want to say something about Oron Road site. When this is the raining season, my my brother, if you observe something, when one drain drop, if you drop a pocket there, you will discover that that water is purely black. In this situation, I want to ask a question, please. What can we, as a citizen of the people that staying around that area of Oron Road, do with this kind of problem? Because we cannot use that rainwater. Because now, if you check from where we have water board, this construction companies that they just did the plan to do falling, they just cut off us with water board. So the only the only source of water that we can use is rain now. And this rain now, if you check that water, it's black.
Okay.
So what can we do with that? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. That will be answered in a short while, but let's see if we can take more calls. 0906-888-951. 0288-888-951. Hello, good morning.
Hello, very good morning. Comfortable.
Great to have you. What's your name?
It's Demi calling from Ecotipine.
All right, go ahead.
I called to commend the analyst.
Oh, okay.
In the studio for the program. Thank you for having me. Happy Friday.
All right. Same to you. Okay, so let's wrap things up because we have to close up shop in a short while. Barrister Nathaniel?
Yes.
Quick reaction and your final thoughts on the conversation today.
Okay. When it has to do with addressing the situations, the bulk stops at the table of the government. They are the ones seized with the responsibility of enforcing the laws that seek to address this concerns. So what I would say, especially to the caller who just called in, is that their agencies, their commissions, their environmental commissions within the state that you could address these problems to, you could also consult a lawyer. He knows the appropriate quarters to go to, and he's going to help you make those take those steps. So that's it.
Well, thank you very much, Barrister Nathaniel Osagie. All right, Frank, let's get your final thought on Ukemawan. Let's get your final thought as well as appraise the companies in Nigeria, in Akwa Ibom.
We have Frontier Oil, we have ExxonMobil, we have Shell and other companies that are doing very well. I will not say that they've not done well, but the challenge is often what they remit to government is not remitted back to the citizens in order for the lives of citizens to be empowered. And a very big one is the NDDC mode of abandoning projects in our communities, which affects us. So I implore our government and ministries and parastatal that are responsible for development of the citizens to go back and do the needful in order for us to eat the dividend of democracy.
All right, thank you very much, FTM champion Ukeme Awan, for your thoughts on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Community Development Radio Program, proudly sponsored by Oxfam. Thank you very much. My name is Mera Basiakban. And that's it for the first episode.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
It's 11 o'clock.
Report cases of cough, fever, and difficulty in breathing to the nearest hospital.
A to Z Galaxies with Anyeka Nudrosen, the producer of the program of the people, by the people, and for the people, presents a new radio program on Comfort 95.1 FM every Friday from 11 a.m. to noon, entitled Uyo Senatorial District Affairs. Uyo Senatorial District Affairs is all about Uyo Senatorial District yesterday, Uyo Senatorial District today, and Uyo Senatorial District tomorrow.
Uyo Senatorial District Affairs with Anyeka Nudorsen comes up on Comfort 95.1 FM every Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. For inquiries and participation, please call 0803 4499429. Uyo Senatorial District Affairs with Anyekan Udawson, the producer of the program of the people, by the people, and for the people. Keep a date every Friday, 11 a.m. to noon on Comfort 95.1 FM.